Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Jeff Hubbard here, along with your ever-present co-hosts, Adam Beebe and Barry Johnston.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, Hub. Thanks, man. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's great, as always, to see you guys.
How are you feeling today, man? I know you're a little under the weather, as myself.
Yeah, I am. Been feeling a little down today, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better right now. So, things are looking up.
I don't know what is worse, the summer cold or like the allergies, man. I've been fighting allergies. I know you've been having a cold. It's just absolutely kicking my ass right now.
Yeah. It's a tough time of year, that is for damn sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to today's episode.
Oh yes.
This is this is a great walk down memory lane here.
Yes.
We have got the one and only head cheese with us today.
That's right.
A Kingfisher legend. And also a legend of Sunrise Circle, my own street in Kingfisher where I grew up. I grew up next to Head Cheese, and we didn't really get to know each other until high school. But I always look back on the times that I spent with Head Cheese very fondly, and he's a very interesting guy, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy getting to know him today.
You know, we had a very colorful cast of characters that we ran with back in the day. And the thing I appreciate most, I think I'm appreciating it more as I'm getting older, is that, you know, we weren't an exclusive club of, you didn't have to be fit a certain type of mold to be a friend. Which up until that point of our high school career was sort of not normal. You needed to fit into a clique. And I kind of feel like the group of friends that we all sort of shared had something interesting to offer, and no one was alike. And he was one of those guys. I don't think I'd have ever been exposed to him if it weren't for you, Hub.
Well, I am glad that that you have been exposed, and now you are infected.
Infected with the head cheese.
Yeah. Wow. He's got us all.
Now, of course, head cheese is not his real name, but we will get to the origin of that particular nickname in the episode. But Head Cheese is just he's got a lot.
He does have a lot.
So we hope you enjoy Head Cheese and his stories because they're a lot of fun. He is a character. So, so Hub, if you don't mind asking that titular question.
I'll do it. Head Cheese, what's your weird story?
Well, I sure do got a lot of them. How much time you got?
All the time you want, man.
All right.
You can start from the beginning or you can go in whatever order you please, sir.
Okay. Well, I got a couple that be right up y'all's alley.
Okay, cool.
Okay. First off, this one's for Jeff.
I can't wait.
All right. We've gone on a family trip to Arkansas. You know, we used to go every summer for a family reunion. I can't even remember the name of the town we used to go to. But my dad, in his infinite wisdom, decided he was going to take what we in the family affectionately referred to as the scenic route coming back. Now, what should have been just a few hours on the road ended up being all day and into the night. And we had stopped over at this rest stop, and my dad noticed this huge bubble on the rear tire of his truck. Well, you know, he didn't say anything. We didn't know what was going on. I was like 10, you know, give or take. So we're going down the road, and all of a sudden we have a blowout. Okay, now, there was 6 kids in the back of this truck. And my parents, it was an extended cab. We're all piled up on each other's laps and everything. Mm. So, after some obscenities from my dad, we decided to go change a tire. Now, we were it was somewhere between the Arkansas line and Muskogee, and we had gone south. So that's about as far down as I can tell you as far as location. And, well, you know, I have a small bladder. I needed to pee. So, you know, walked off and, you know, went over away from the truck and, you know, doing my business. And I look up and there's something just kind of crouched down. And if I had to take a guess, it was about 4 feet across. Okay, this thing was not small.
Wow.
And I just thought it was a light playing tricks on me, and because it was getting to be about dusk, and it started to move, you know, just kind of rocking back and forth. Now, okay, I was still thinking, yeah, it could be the wind, might be the wind. Winds don't blow stumps, because that's what I originally thought it was, like a turned over tree. It was really dark, and then it started moving faster. It's like it was rocking back and forth. Okay, so at this point, I'm kind of scared. I'm not going to lie. You know, my grandpa used to take me hunting all the time, so I decided it was time to make an exit. So I started backing out, trying to walk back to the truck, you know, real slow, real calm, you know, kind of staring at the ground. Then I looked up, and it had a mouth. Yeah. And it wasn't like a normal mouth like we have. It was like ear to ear. The closest thing that I can think of, and this is what I've always thought. Do you guys remember that game, Mr. Mouth, where you flip the checkers into this mouth that's spinning around?
A board game? It's
like
a ball on a hinge.
Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Just if this thing could open up its mouth all the way, it would just be like opening up a hinge, you know?
Wow. So kind of like maybe like the Cheshire Cat.
Just bigger.
Okay.
I'm serious. It was like the mouth went all the way to the back of the head. It was. Wow. Yeah, you know, that might be just how I remember it, but I just remember the size of the mouth. I could not remember anything else.
Had you finished peeing? Because I'm of the mindset that if you hadn't, you would have probably finished in your pants.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some pressure came up out of that, and things went a little faster. But then I'm just sitting there, like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm still trying to get back to the truck, and I start seeing flashes of pink. Looking back on it, and now that I've had some years to kind of process it and everything, it was flipping its lips, kind of like the way a chimpanzee does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get back to the truck, and I'm kind of trying to tell my dad what's going on. I don't know if any of y'all know my dad, but that kind of stuff wasn't in his wheelhouse. So I told him, he was like, oh, you didn't see nothing. There's nothing out there. But I was standing right next to him by the time I got back to the truck, and you could still see it.
Wow.
And dad kind of kicked it into sports gear, getting the tire back on that truck. And then we just took off, and we get a couple miles down the road, he gets out and finishes tightening lug nuts. Oh, wow. So that is the entire story. That is the entire experience. And it's never been talked about. I tried to explain it to my sister around Christmas time, and she doesn't remember it.
Wow, dude.
She's probably about 6 or 7.
I've never heard of anything quite like that. You know, I mean, that seems to me like it would possibly fall into a Bigfoot type category.
Yeah.
But do you remember the teeth? Were they like, were they sharp? Were they, you know, like predator teeth, or were they?
That's the thing. I just remember the mouth, the size of the mouth. I don't remember teeth. I don't remember. I remember a basic shape, but everything else is just a blur. I remember the size, the basic shape, and seeing colors. But that's it.
Wow.
So do you think it was a Bigfoot?
Well, looking back on it is what makes sense. So, I mean, the area's right. The time of day is right.
Did it never like took steps forward toward you or anything like that? It just stayed there?
It stayed in a crouching position.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. Like I said, I don't really know the layout of that area very well, but its shoulders were about 4 feet across, and if I had to take a guess, they would have been even with the edge of the bed of the truck. My dad had, I think it was an F-150 at the time. So it would have had to have been crouching.
Cool. Yeah,
that thing was huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Wow, man.
It did. Do you remember it making any kind of a sound?
No. I don't remember sounds. I don't remember details of it. Just like a black mass. I remember it had kind of a flattened top of the head, not like a cone-shaped head, and not round like ours. It was more flat. Almost blockish. And that's
what all color, I can remember. What color was it?
Black.
Black. Could you make out that it was furry? Or was it furry? Or could you make it out?
Everything's a blur.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a shadow person.
It didn't seem like a shadow to me. And a shadow wouldn't have a colored mouth, you know.
But they say that, I mean, when the shadow people, that mostly what I hear is that it's a black mass of a figure, and usually you don't see that stuff, but there might be a variation or something on it. I don't know.
I honestly think this is actually there.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was just as real as you and me.
So you, like a biological.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
Well, were you able to detect any scents?
No
smells or anything like that from it?
You didn't.
The only sense I think of smell come from my back end, if you know what I'm saying.
I thought it was a number one you were going.
It might have changed to a 3. I don't know.
About how far do you think you were from it when you were standing there?
10, 15 feet.
Really?
Yeah, it was real close.
That is crazy. You know, and dusk time, that's really like one of the worst times of the day to make out type of shape or, to really see things with much clarity. It's like really one of the worst times of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really told this story to too many people. I've told it to my wife, but last year I did get to tell it to Bob Gimlin, so that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Wow, yeah.
If you ever get a chance to meet or talk to him, he's one of the nicest people you ever run into.
And that would be great. That would be magical to talk to him.
One of our guests is friends with him, and so hopefully maybe she can access. Who knows?
Yeah, we went to the Bigfoot conference down here in Nebraska. They had 20 miles from me, so it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that is. That is cool. So, what? Back to it. So you got back to the truck, and you kind of told your dad what was going on. Did you point over in the direction, and did he look over there? And did you see a noticeable reaction from him? Was he seeing the same thing you saw?
I don't know what he saw. All I know is, I kind of gestured over there because I know not to point, bring attention to the animal.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, gestured over there a little bit, and he looked up, and like I said, he really got pretty quick when he was putting that tire back on.
Yeah.
But he didn't say anything. He didn't react. He just got faster.
Yeah.
And then we took off, and then we stopped again, and he finished tightening the lug nuts.
Yeah, you're in a hurry if you if you take off before you get those tight.
Yeah. Yeah, you really are. You really are. It seems that he didn't acknowledge seeing it, and maybe he didn't acknowledge seeing it so that you wouldn't get more scared, or maybe he didn't acknowledge seeing it because he didn't want to.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he definitely was like, finished up, and then, enough to where you could leap and get out of that area. So there's something there. If he had some kind of, if he had some kind of mental filter that prevented him from recognizing the actual thing that you saw, but he recognized that there was some kind of a danger to get out of there. So there's something.
Yeah. There was something going on.
Yeah.
But really, that's kind of what got me started and looking into the weird stuff that goes on. And I hate to say it, but it was almost like after that, that's when I started seeing lots of different things.
Yeah.
That house that we lived in across the street from you, Jeff. That place had a lot of weird things going for it.
No kidding. I never did know that.
Yeah. My little sister's room was at the end of the hall right next to my parents' room. And where my bedroom was. It's kind of in the middle of the house, and my parents' room was on the end. And we moved in there when I was in fifth grade. And we noticed a couple little things here and there. And
now, if you say that you heard strange noises coming from the back end of the house, I think that might be a little bit more easily explained away. So, through your parents' room.
Well, not when you're home by yourself. Well, to start it off, the first thing we notice is every now and then you'd hear coughing. It's like somebody coughing. Mm. And that went on for year or two. Just every now and then you'd hear somebody coughing. And then my stepdad wanted to get that riding lawnmower he was always on. He still has that thing. So he got him a second job working over at Tim Troll over in Okarchee. And he was gone at night. Well, my parents started fighting quite a bit at that point. My mom, my stepdad. And didn't really notice, what was causing the fight, didn't know what they were fighting about. Well, come to find out, my mom tells me this stuff about a year after all that happened. My stepdad would come home and see these giant boot prints in the carpet because we had that real thick, fluffy carpet.
Oh, yeah.
And they're way too big to be my footprints, my grandpa's footprints, his footprints. So obviously, my stepdad thought my mom had a side dude. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets weirder. It gets weirder. So my sister starts waking up in the middle of the night, and she'd be nervous, and she's talking about this big cop that was standing in a room.
What?
Yeah. So trying to figure out the best way to say it. I mean, it was just little things like that. My sister had this imaginary friend who was a police officer. His name was Vic, and it was just way too detailed, Then you got the footprints in the carpet, like physical footprints in the carpet. And every now and then, the house would just reek of peach cobbler.
Wow.
It was just,
peach cobbler. Wow.
Yeah. So this goes on for the whole time we lived there. And the people that we bought the house from, the wife showed up one day and she just wanted to see the old house. Not a big deal. I wasn't home. My mom told me this story. But apparently her husband's name was Vic. He was a cop. His favorite thing in the world to eat was peach cobbler, and he loved little kids.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, yeah. Dude.
Whoa.
I mean, this went on for a long time.
Did he die in the house or?
Yeah, lung cancer in the back bedroom. Shit. No dude, shit.
Wow. That's the cough.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Lord,
dude.
That's the big footprints. And, of course, obviously, that's the cop that was in your sister's room. And Vic is not a very common name in our area where we grew up.
I know.
No.
You know, so like a little kid to say his name is Vic is very unusual because, I mean, I can't think of anything Vic would have been a character's name of at that time. Yeah. You know, well, so.
Interesting, man. Yeah, you know,
oh,
when.
Oh, man.
I made that question. That's crazy, dude.
I remember when I was pretty young, you know, playing out in the cul-de-sac. You know, we used to have rocks out there in that tree, you know, yeah. And
rocks
now it's just
the tree.
It's just grass. But
yeah, my stepdad's the one that cut down the tree.
But one time I was out there playing in the cul-de-sac, and Amy Wheeler and her sister showed up, and and they were visiting somebody in that house, and I didn't know who it was, and I'd completely forgotten about that until you just mentioned it. And I was trying to remember who lived in that house before you guys did, but, you know, because I lived in that house my whole life from the time I was 11 months old, and but I do not remember who lived there before you, but, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was just a weird situation. I mean, it was cool, you know. Nobody was scared. Well, okay, my stepdad got scared one time because he woke up and he looked down the hall and there's a guy standing at the end of the hall and he pulled his gun. You know, I don't know if you remember, we had that little intercom system at the end of the hall and it disappeared after a while. It had a bullet hole in it.
Wait, okay, hold on. Your stepdad pulled the gun on the guy?
Yeah.
Or, okay, I wasn't sure because he was a cop. I didn't know if the ghost cop had pulled a gun on your stepdad.
No, my stepdad had a 9mm right next to the door in the closet, and he just reached out, pulled it, and took a shot. And that's how we didn't have an intercom system anymore.
I'll be damned. That is crazy, man.
Yeah. Then a few years back, I went through a divorce, and this is when I was living in Denver, and the girl I was seeing at the time went to Kingfisher to, you know, help me pick up a car. And she was staying in my sister's old room because, you know, my mom gets a little old-fashioned from time to time. I'm laying there on the couch. I hear her scream, and I run in there to check on her, and she said there's this big guy playing with her toes. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still there. My parents have moved since then, but
wow,
that is crazy.
Hub,
man.
You need to go and knock on those people's door.
Yes.
No, the new people that live there are a little different, so they're kind of rude.
Really? Well, I'll be up there tomorrow. Dude, if they're out there, right? I might try to strike up a conversation. I don't know about knocking.
Go for
it.
Going over
there,
dude.
Yeah. I don't know. We're here. Bell, you're a ghost.
Do you guys realize how creepy Kingfisher actually is?
Dude. Yeah, it is.
I think we're just realizing that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife is from Sacramento, and her first time being in town, she had gotten stationed out in San Diego, and I ended up staying in Virginia Beach because she was only going to be there a couple months. And she was going through town and She's like, well, where's a good place in Oklahoma City to stop and get a rest? It's like, just drive up to my mom's house and stay a couple days. So, yeah, she got up there. She'd been in town maybe 30, 45 minutes, and she called me up saying, this is a creepy little place. I'm like, you just wait, girl.
This has become it's really become about half of our content. Half of our stories are based around Kingfisher, and that was not the idea. Like, it just sort of happened. Yeah.
But it's really cool because we are hearing all these stories about how our seemingly pleasant and Norman Rockwell-esque little town was just so safe and quiet and nice. But, like, man, it sounds like it's something out of Twin Peaks is what it's happening.
Yeah.
We're coming to find out, man. Yeah. We lived at Twin Peaks.
Well, come on. Every small town has all those stories.
Yeah.
But we lived them.
Yeah.
It's almost terrifying when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. /weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
After high school, I don't know, most of you guys know, I went into the Navy, and I actually have a story where my Navy time and Kingfisher kind of intersect.
Okay. Hmm.
Okay, this is in 96. I was on the USS Tarawa, and it was a big amphib ship. It was one step down from an aircraft carrier, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're in the Indian Ocean, and, you know, being the young guy and in the division and, you know, basically in the department, one of the younger guys that are quick to be able to do extra things. And we had what's called a Snoopy team, which goes up to the top of the ship if there's like an air contact or whatever, and take pictures and record video, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got into that because, you know, we did the whole photography thing in high school, so
yeah.
I knew how to work a camera. So we go up there, they call away the Snoopy team, we go up there to the top of the ship, you know, on top of the superstructure, and, you know, go to take pictures. And it's whatever it was shiny. At first I thought like the weather balloon stuff, you know, because it was, it would change colors, you know, and I just figured it was just the sun. But I was like, why would they call us out to take pictures of something that they already know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we take pictures, and, you know, I just kind of filed away in the back of my mind. Well, I come home on leave about 6 months later, and my mom is sitting there like, you got to see this. And she popped out this videotape, and it's the exact same thing we were taking pictures of in the Indian Ocean over the backyard. Okay.
Wait.
Yeah, it's exact same.
So in your mom's backyard, she's videoing the same object that you recorded halfway across the world.
Yep. And it was on Channel 9, and she recorded the news story for it.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude. And it had Gary England on there saying it was a weather balloon, but
of course.
I'm sorry. It looked it was identical to what we saw in the middle of nowhere in the Indian Ocean.
In broad daylight
by a little island called Diego Garcia. So wow. If you want to pop out a map, you will see that there's nothing around there.
Huh.
Wow.
Yes, it's interesting.
Okay.
Adam, I'll ask your question. Did it have a discernible shape?
kind of egg-shaped, I guess.
Interesting. And you said it was kind of silver and changing colors.
Silver, red, blue, green, yellow, orange.
Wow.
What was the movement on it? Was it moving fast? Was it stationary?
Yeah, that's why it was weird. Dude. And if it was a weather balloon, I'm sorry, but the pointy end wouldn't be on top.
If it was a weather balloon, it wouldn't be stationary over an ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the middle of the ocean.
That just would not happen, you know, because it's like air currents move over the oceans because there's no resistance like land masses. So, right. Yeah, man, that's
was it I pretty, had to take an estimate 300 feet.
It was
300 feet off of water.
Was it pretty like pretty close to you? Like, could you?
It's hard to judge distance.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at sky. I mean,
but you could see it like pretty, like you could vividly see it. Like it's like you could see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty interesting. Yeah, but I didn't think anything of it until my mom showed me that video.
That's so crazy, dude.
Were you guys saying whenever you're taking pictures of it at that time? Were you just like, huh, well, this is weird. And then that was it.
Yeah, I mean, we just go out there, take the pictures, and take them down to the photo lab. That's pretty much all we did.
Right, okay.
There wasn't a lot of discussion about it.
Right. Yeah.
You don't ask questions.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
That is crazy. Yeah, you know, a weather balloon would not be 300 feet, you know, 100 yards off of the surface of the ocean either. It'd be up in the sky.
Way up in the stratosphere. Yeah. It wouldn't be stationary.
Yeah.
And
it would have some kind of I think they still have like a carriage underneath something that they're for monitoring equipment and stuff. At least at that time they would have. Now they may have much more, you know, like a GoPro or something small like that. But
I was just over at the National Weather Service down in Hastings, Nebraska, for an open house that they had, and they actually showed us the boxes that they put on the.
Something, you know, mid-90s would have been a whole bigger contraption.
And then, you know, if you got something hanging off of a loose balloon, the pointy end's going to be on the bottom.
Right.
The pointy end was on the top.
That's crazy, man.
Wow.
Your mom videotaped.
Yep.
Do you still have that?
I don't know.
Oh man, if you can find that, and if it's, you know, that would be really cool to have.
Yeah. One thing's for sure, it would be a VHS tape.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But she still has a bunch of VHS tapes on her wall on this shelf. So I'm going down there after my daughter gets out of school later this month, and I'll take a look.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Take a look. See what you find.
She's got it.
Ask your mom about stories that she might have not told you.
My mom's got all kinds of stories, all kinds of stories to the point
you might have to.
Some of them pretty far fetched. That's coming from me.
Well, I'm glad you said it because, dude, yeah. Well, that would be really cool to find.
If she has it, I'm gonna bring my laptop down there with me anyway and see if I can digitize it. And
yeah.
Cool. If I can, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, cool, man. Hey, amazing. Look, if you can't digitize it there with your laptop, I have the ability to do that.
Okay.
I've rigged up something so that I can do stuff like that. So, yeah. So, cool. Awesome, dude. Well, that's wild, man.
That is wild.
And is the wild, I mean, it's wild enough that you spotted it off of the ocean, but then your mom sees it, and then it's also on Channel 9 with Gary England.
Yep, I'm never going to forget that. My mom, you know, I came home, and my mom said, hey, sit down, check this out. We were recording this in the backyard, and it was on the news. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there in my mind going, oh, my God, I've seen the exact same thing in the middle of nowhere.
So, wow. That's crazy. Wow, man. For people outside of Oklahoma, Gary England is a long time. I don't know. Is he still doing the weather? Or is he retired?
He retired last year.
Yeah. He, for years and years and years, probably 30, 40 years, Gary England did the weather in Oklahoma. And he's such an authority on it that, I mean, his word was better than, I mean, he basically made the weather in Oklahoma.
Well, I can tell you, we miss him sorely, dude, because these freaking jokers we have here that are calling the weather are just the worst.
That is so true. So true. They, overhyping, missing everything. Gary England's such an authority. He has a cameo in Twister. You know, I don't know if you could really call it a cameo. It might have been an actual broadcast that they just put, but he is on that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He's also a technical advisor.
There you go.
Yeah.
What I find really interesting, I mean, this is just a little tie-in, is when we saw that thing over in the Indian Ocean, we were off Diego Garcia, and Gary was in the Navy, and he was stationed in Diego Garcia. I think it's either Diego Garcia or Guam.
Wow.
So
that is crazy.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it, I want to say Guam, but.
Okay. Wow, man, that's crazy.
And he's still an undercover operative working as a weatherman in Oklahoma, explaining away extraterrestrial space.
That son of a bitch.
Oh!
He's the Illuminati!
Yeah. He's a shill, man. God damn it.
Oh.
That's a strange coincidence, man. That
yeah.
is.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
But, oh, man.
So the alien stories are, or the UFO stories are really piling up here in the Oklahoma area.
Yeah, dude. It's awesome. Especially in our area.
Yeah.
But that's wholly different from the two different types that I've seen. So, or yeah, saw.
You know, were you getting ready to say something, Head Cheese?
I was thinking about it, and I was trying to figure out the best way to describe the way this thing changed color. You ever looked at an opal and moved it around in the light?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Kind of like an oily type sheen with those
pellucence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's really cool. Any idea how big it was?
No. I mean, there's no real way to get scale.
Right.
Like I said, you look at water, you look at sky, and that's all you got.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool, man.
Yeah. At the beginning of that story, I had rubbed my eye. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I had rubbed my eyes, and I had cut up some fresh jalapeno for my lunch and forgot to wash my hands.
There you go.
And that's why I was like grimacing and clutching my eyes and wiping it away and just trying to be totally normal while I was and have reactions that were adequate. That.
Well, if your eyes are red, you usually look the same as you used to in high school. So
you know, I mean, I've got my eye drops here because, you know, it is the height of allergy season for me. I'm suffering either way.
Yeah, my wife really wanted to come on with you guys too, but she's working today, unfortunately. So
we can have her on next time. So because I feel like we're gonna have more than one conversation.
Well, any weird stories that she's gonna have probably involve me because she didn't believe anything I used to tell her till we got together. So.
Yeah, you had mentioned in our email correspondence that. You know, you guys had weird stories, and I said I strictly limit to outside of the bedroom. So,
yeah,
Well, would you guys like to hear a funny story?
Dude, yeah. We want to hear them all.
Of course.
Okay, well, all right. This one's a funny story in itself, but it actually builds up to a really bad story. So bear with me on this.
Okay.
It was 2001. You know, the summer 2001 is right around 4th of July. But I don't know the exact date. We were in Aqaba, Jordan, and we were dropping Marines off for an exercise that was supposed to last for 6 weeks. And on the ship that I was on, we had about 2,000 sailors and about 5,000 Marines. Okay. We got the hovercraft, the helicopters, the Harrier jump jets. We had it all.
That's a big fucking ship, dude. Is that
big ship? If you want to look it up, it was a USS Boxer.
Okay.
LHD-4.
Wow.
And that's actually where I met my wife. But we were sitting there, and we had been unloading Marines for about 2-3 days, and all of a sudden, everything goes to hell. We don't know what's going on. They're making us go inside the ship. They're buttoning up the ship. You can't leave the skin of the ship without wearing Kevlar. Everybody's freaking out. And they're bringing the Marines back on as fast as they can. And it ended up, we had everybody back on, and we were back out to sea within 24 hours. Well, there is a complete blackout on information as to what's going on. Well, I was intel, you know, I was a crypto tech. And so we always kind of knew what was going on the ship. So sometimes we played on that, you know. Something weird's happening on the ship. We're going to have fun with it.
Yeah, right.
Some of the guys from engineering come over. They run up. Hey, Bubs, man, what's going on? What's going on? I was like, y'all ever see Independence Day? And then I just walked off. So it starts going around the ship that we were being invaded. And what actually happened was the admiral got on the phone with the captain and told the captain that they'd been picking up chatter about a big terrorist target, and they thought it was us. It ended up being New York City. So, oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was that was a crazy time.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my wife and I, we were working together 9/11. Yeah, that was a crazy day. But,
well, I've told my story on here. I don't think you probably haven't heard it yet, but I was supposed to fly back from Hawaii off from my honeymoon on that day. And we woke up at 4 a.m, a phone call from my sister. She called me to tell me what had happened. She said, you need to turn the TV on. And, you know, half asleep and half awake, I turned the TV on, and it's like, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, you see the one hit, the first plane hit, and you're like, okay, that's weird, you know? And then you see the second one hit, and you're like, oh my God, something's going on here. We're under attack, or something's going on. You know, it's just such a crazy, everybody was losing their minds, man. Of course.
You know, I can imagine. We had just left Pearl Harbor 2 days before it happened, so we were pretty much in the same place, same time. Man.
Well, I was at Pearl Harbor like that week. We probably were within, you know, very close proximity of each other.
That is wild.
That is wild.
Man. World. It's wild. All world. Dude. Wow. It's so man. Crazy.
That is.
Yeah,
intense.
We had everything shut down, and you know, we were just kind of waiting to get home. We were supposed to pull into San Diego on the 14th.
Wow, man.
Never going to forget that as long as I live.
Well, we probably left around the 14th because it took us over a week to get home, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then when they were letting the flights out, it was only a few flights a day that they would let out. And so you'd show up at the airport, man, and those lines were freaking miles long, people trying to get into the airport and get on a plane. Well, you just want to get home. I mean, you just want to get back on the mainland, you know?
Yep.
And once we got back to, we flew into LAX, man, and we were going to rent a car because there was no way to get home. We had to sit over for a few more days there in LA to wait for another flight to get home, man. It was just chaos, man. It was just the worst, man.
Oh, yeah. Imagine being just off the coast of California. Yeah. You can see the lights from the cities and stuff, right. And nothing in the sky.
Right. Yeah.
That was surreal.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is crazy.
No kidding. Well, at least you're with the most equipped folks to take care of shit. You know what I mean?
Sure enough.
Maybe from your point of view, right? But like from my point of view, it was like I'm fucked. You know what I mean? It was just like I'm at the whim of, you know, whoever calls the shots to get people on planes. You know, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Well, our original plan, we had been gone for 6 months. Our original plan was just pull in, pick up gas, and leave again. So we were not happy.
Yeah.
We were not happy people.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, it was all part of that lead up to it.
Right.
We were sitting there, Aqaba, Jordan, getting a weird phone call, and next thing you know.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Man. But it is pretty funny that you did start a shipwide rumor that
we had so much fun doing stuff like that.
Oh, man.
You know, people would listen in on our conversations at dinner just to see if they could pick up stuff on what's going on. We'd just sit there like, oh yeah, I can't believe we got extended again, you know. People just lose their minds. It was great.
That is funny.
It's like having unlimited power.
Oh shit!
I'm trying to think of other interesting things. Man, I could tell you guys stories for days. I'm not gonna lie. Some of them probably not exactly suited for a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's one nice thing about the podcast is that basically we're self-censoring and self-editing, so we can do what we like and, you know, and just tell our moms not to listen to that particular episode. Uh-huh.
So. It's really how much do you want the world to know, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My wife and I, we joke around about it, thinking how happy we are that there were not digital cameras back when we were doing all of our employment stuff.
Yeah. I'd have got myself into a lot of trouble. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah.
Also,
you still getting in trouble over like Thailand, Philippines. Have fun with it.
Right.
If you see any kids that look like me, don't talk to them.
Hey Barry,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of good sea stories out there. My wife's got more than a few.
How long were you in the Navy for, man?
10 years.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife did 20 and I did 10.
Wow.
So I used to work. I'm trying to figure out how the best way to put it. They called us spooks. Uh-huh. I finally got to see some really cool things, but. Yeah.
You can't talk about those, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Loved it, though.
Yeah. That's good.
Did
your knowledge and techniques that you acquired of of cooking fried chicken in mass quantities that we did that come into play anywhere?
Once.
Head Cheese and I in high school, Head Cheese and I worked at the local KFC. And
you worked there?
Yeah, dude, I only worked there for like a month, okay. My senior year.
I don't remember. And that.
It just got to be, it was my senior year, you know, my dad was sick, and it got to be where, like, I wasn't able to focus well on school. And my grades started dipping just a little in that short time, but I'm sure it also was because, you know, my dad was dying. But yeah, I had to like not do it. I had to back out. But Head Cheese and I worked together a lot there.
Dude, I'd have been all over those mashed potatoes and gravy and those biscuits, dude.
That's what it was. That's what it was. And every night, we made too much and taking some home. Yeah.
When I was a kid. Julian Ludwig and I used to go in there because I don't know if you guys remember this, but he had the freaking loudest farts, dude. And he would rip him off those seats, you know, those hard seats.
Yeah, those laminated.
That was part of the fun, dude. It was amazing. Wednesdays before church, you know, we'd go in there and he'd rattle a few off.
We had this guy we called Sleazy Leo, and he was on the ship with me and the wife, and that dude was just foul. He would do whatever he could just to make people throw up.
Yeah.
We had this one thing where we were sitting on the side of, you know, we were still pier side, but they acted like we were at sea. It's called a fast cruise, and they'd run drills where they'd shut off the ventilation, shut everything down. What we didn't know is this dude had been living off of pickled eggs and beer for a week. Oh. And he just drank a couple protein shakes.
Oh. Jesus. Sleazy Leo.
Yeah. He was a lot of fun. He still lives up in Virginia Beach, and you know, we talk to each other every now and then. But
I hope he had a shirt that says "No Open Flames" around.
Oh, he was the best at pulling jokes on us. So you'd be sitting there, you know, sitting on the toilet doing your thing, and on the ship it's just like a public toilet, you know. You got your little cubicle there, and all of a sudden you'd see a blinding white flash. Well, he found one of those old school digital cameras that you put the floppy disk in. He picked that up in Singapore, and he'd take a picture of you taking a shit and send it to people in email. Jeff, you would have fit in.
I think the military might have been my missed calling, man.
I was thinking along the similar lines, though, once you said that. Whatever it could have been.
I would have been Private Pile, man.
Yeah. You know, they used me to break in the new guys, you know, scare the hell out of them. So, yeah. Yeah, I did three ships back to back, and that's, for being a crypto tech, that's pretty uncommon. And so I do all the little jokes and how to really scare people, and I've had them all pulled on me anyway, so we had this one guy, he was just a kind of a creepy little dude, you know. He always tried to make people uncomfortable. That was his thing. That's what he did to pass the time. You get bored out there. And I was sitting there, and our beds are really small, and that's the only privacy we have. You know, it's about maybe 2 inches wider than my shoulders and with some curtains on it, right? Well, I had this nice, comfy satin pillowcase, one of those massage pads under my sheet. And I would just sit there and be comfy. And some of the guys used to give me hell about it. Well, this guy decides he's going to come in and scare the hell out of me in the middle of the night. I'm sitting there, sleep. He crawls in to my rack naked and says, "Wake up, sugar, we're going to play." I kissed him on the cheek. Said, "Morning, honey, you want to be the man of your life?"
Yeah. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, we used to do stuff like that to make each other uncomfortable. So people try to gross me out and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
I would love to see I say this, but then again, in retrospect, as soon as I'm actually saying this out loud, I was going to say I would love to see what it would take to gross you out, Head Cheese. But then, given the fact that your name is Head Cheese, and given the fact I've known you for so long and know what you how you played with bags of chicken product or whatever it was at KFC.
Oh, yeah.
And the stories that you would tell. So
it takes a lot. It really does. It takes a lot. I mean, come on. After the Navy, I did the security thing for a while. And then after that, I was working for a water damage restoration company that specialized in crawl space sewage cleanup.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Not pleasant.
Yeah.
Money's good, though, but it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
Wow. I would be too claustrophobic for that. I mean, yeah. Even if I could somehow knock out the smells and everything, I think that would probably be too much for me.
Yeah, sometimes the smell will get through your respirator. No.
Oh. Oh,
then being a bigger guy, my suit would always rip. So.
Now, I got a question. If you farted in your own suit, would you smell it? I mean,
no. No.
If you farted a lot, would it balloon up?
Yeah. Sometimes it was, those white Tyvek suits, and sometimes I'd put a square on my belly and say I'm a Teletubby, stinky pinky.
Do you ever have anything when you're a security guy? Anything weird happen or anything unusual happen whenever you were doing that?
Well, how that you mentioned it, I mean, there were stories that you heard.
Yeah.
Okay, late at night when you were watching TV and they got the CD things, from Time Life, monster ballads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the warehouse I worked at.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's closed down now, but I was working night crew and there's a call center that people didn't want to work in at night. Mm-hmm. And I was always asking why, and come to find out it was a lady had killed her baby and stuffed the baby's body in a locker when that call center was a locker room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we just heard stories that it wasn't safe to go in there at night and stuff like that. I never had any issue with it. I did have one interesting thing happen while I was working there. This guy got busted. He was using one of the servers for kiddie porn. Oh. He was running kiddie porn out of that warehouse.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. And we were waiting for the cops to show up, and he had managed to get out to his car. And so we figured if he just stayed out by his car, everything would be good and the cops would show up. Well, we didn't realize he had a gas can in there, so he set himself and the car on fire in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yeah. We were just sitting there watching, do we try to help him? Nah.
Yeah.
Let it go. He's better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burning alive.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. That is crazy.
Yeah. That was a weird day at work.
No kidding.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience, we can have more friends, we can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
trying to think, what else could I tell you guys right away that would just be awesome?
Well, I do. You know, I wanted to say that you introduced, your parents were out of town one time, and you had me, and I think it was Killo, over for dinner. And you grilled us some delicious steaks, and you also made corn on the grill like I had never had before.
Well, I'm better now.
Cheese introduced me to the art of grilling corn with the husk on. On the grill. It was the best corn I had ever had. I thought he was a culinary genius. I didn't know it was a thing, but it was the most delicious thing. I still do it the same to this day. I just made some two nights ago, and I have you to thank for that, Head Cheese. Well,
awesome. You should come up here sometime. I live in the middle of cornfields.
Yeah, you probably do grow a lot of corn up there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we got up here about a year and a half ago, 2 years, and we really like it up here. Like I said, it's quiet. We went from living in the hood in Virginia Beach, where you got a police helicopter flying over you 24/7, to a small town. I love it.
Man, I have been to Virginia Beach, and we played when I was with a band, and we played this place that was a it was an apartment where they put on a bunch of house shows, and it was an apartment above a comic book store, and it was also apparently a shooting gallery for, you know, for heroin junkies. And so there were rooms that that shit was going on while we were playing shows. And both times, like, crazy, crazy shit happened at those shows. One time there was – the first time we were there, there was a – we're playing a, this – well, before we started, some guys got in a fight with this skinny, long-haired, hippie-looking dude. And he leaves, and he comes back with a machete. And everybody's like, hey, that dude's come back with the machete. And we're just all like, you know, what do we do? So, but apparently he gets turned away and he leaves, and that's cool. That's fine or whatever. So we're sitting there and we're playing a song, and the song is, the verses go, we're in the same bubble, baby, trying to make it out alive. So it's a song about everybody being together and, like, you know, we're all trying to make it through this world alive and together and, you know, really positive unity kind of a thing, right? And we're sitting there and we're playing it, and the lead singer, he's just, you know, rocking out, and you know, and the bass player, he's just jamming, and the keyboardist, the other keyboardist, because there's two of us, are playing, and we're looking at the back of this room, and this guy comes out of this side room. And this other dude, they meet, and they kind of, like, you know, I guess they had some beef or whatever, because they're kind of like bowing up to each other, and like they're getting ready to throw down. And so this smaller guy just clocks this taller dude and just knocks him the fuck out in one punch. And this guy is falling, and somebody opens the door from where he is behind him, grabs him, and just pulls him into the room like some weird David Lynch movie or something. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm playing, you know, I'm still playing the song. And I look over to Garrett, who is the quiet guy in the band. He's the other keyboard player. And he looks over at me like, and there's that acknowledgement of, did you just fucking see what I saw? And it's just like, like, where the hell are we? And so, you know, we finished the song and we play it, and like the bass player and lead singer, they totally didn't see it, but man, that was such a weird thing. And that was the tamer of the two nights. So
I can imagine.
The place was crazy.
You're in Virginia Beach, motherfucker.
It's right. It sounds nice, but it's fucking hell.
Yeah. People ask us every now and then, where'd you guys move from? You're you know, like I said, small town up here, and people start to recognize you, but they know that you're not from around here. Where are you from? Well, we just moved here from Virginia Beach. Why did you leave that place? Because it's a hellhole.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a couple areas there that are pretty nice. Yeah. The rest of it's pretty bad. We're sitting there. It was the night we got our furniture when we moved back there. And because my wife had been stationed in Spain, and I went back to Kingfisher for a couple of years. And we get back, and we get a house right across the street from one of my best friends. And that house is a wreck anyway. That's a long story in itself. But we get our furniture. We get the bed set up. My wife rolls over and looks at me. She goes, isn't that great to be back around our friends? It kind of feels like we're back home. Then all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. Guy got iced 100 yards behind the house.
Wow.
Just walking across the street. And I'm like, yep, welcome back.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
You know, I used to say that about Florida. You know, people are like, oh, what? Florida's so great. No. No, Florida's a shithole. Florida is everybody from the East Coast running from something lives in Florida. They're all criminals, and it's just not a good place to be, you know?
Yeah, I was in 95, early 96, I was down in Pensacola.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew it was weird from the minute you got off that plane.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember, you know, like, you know, hundreds of pounds of cocaine washing up on the beaches, you know? It would be... You know, it was just an everyday occurrence, you know, because that's where they would drop the drugs off, you know, out in the middle of the water. And then they'd do the pickup. And then once in a while, you'd get some that would wash up on shore. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's I mean, now, you know, how, you know, Florida man. And then you could say anything crazy after that. It's probably happened twice.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Well, OK, you just reminded me of something. The weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, prepare yourselves.
Was in Utah. It was in Utah.
Utah.
Okay. I had gotten off of the Boxer and got orders over to Denver, Colorado.
The ship, not the man, right?
Yes, yes.
Or the dog.
It could have been the dog. It reminds me, I need to get peanut butter. But anyway,
I think we may have the title for the show.
Yeah, if my buddy Tommy hears it, he'll know. But anyway, my ex-wife, she had the kids, and she was in the Explorer. We had a Ford Explorer, and I had this little black Suzuki hatchback that I drove everywhere. And, you know, I had all the stuff in my car that we were going to need for the apartment until the movers got there. And we're going down the middle of nowhere. We were taking 70 through Utah. And, I mean, this desolate. And the engine blows on my car. And it was around 11, 12 at night. So the ex-wife, she stops and she says that she's going to go get help. I mean, we didn't have cell phone or anything. Hell, we wouldn't even have cell service out there. But I was going to stay with the car. And she takes off. Man, hours go by. Now, this is in April. I was on top of a mountain somewhere in Utah. And there's like a gorge between the eastbound and westbound lanes.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there, I got a mountain over here. The only vehicles I'm seeing are trucks, you know, semi trucks. And it's cold. I got dressed in Vegas. I was wearing shorts and tank top. There's frost coming up on the windows. And when you ain't got an engine, you ain't got no heat. So I'm digging around. I find an old pair of sweatpants I used to, you know, wipe the dipstick when I'm checking oil. Found an old Dr. Pepper that been in the car for so long, the paint wore off on the can. And I'm sitting there chain smoking cigarettes, trying to stay warm. And I'm serious, hours go by. And that's not an exaggeration. And my ex-wife shows up with a tow truck, but they're on the other side of this gorge. And we're yelling back and forth. And apparently the nearest town one direction was about 90 miles, and the nearest town the other direction is about 45. So he was taking, you know, my ex-wife and the kids back to the other town 45 minutes behind us. And he'd be back for me. He told me, just stay in the car. I'm like, I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. You know, stay in your car. So I thought that was a little odd. Then about 30, 45 minutes later, there's a red and blue lights behind me. I'm like, oh, cool. Highway patrol. Come to make sure I'm all right. Good. I have the emergency flashers on, everything. Hood up. I wasn't going anywhere. And I stuck my head out the car, and the state trooper kind of made this motion. He looked like Tim Conway. Okay. So I get out the car because I thought he was like waving me back. And all of a sudden he just runs up on me, slams me up against the side of this car and said, I don't know how you guys do things in California, but we don't get out of our cars here when we're getting stopped. I had California plates in the car. So I'm just like, what the hell is going on? And then I realize he's got his gun out.
Oh, shit.
And I'm just like, oh, goddamn.
Did this cop think he pulled you over despite the fact that you were already broke down on the side of the highway?
Oh, I'm getting to this.
Okay.
I'm getting to this, Adam. Calm down.
All right. I'm sorry. I was just, you know.
Calm down, because so I'm sitting there, and I realize that this guy's got the gun up against my body. Okay? And I'm just like,
are you sure it's the gun at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that, or he had a very disappointed wife. So I'm sitting there,
half cocked
on my side. I got this cop yelling at me, and he's like, what the hell are you doing out here? I was like, my car broke down. My wife at the time was getting me help, and I'm in the Navy. I'm on my way to Denver, Colorado. I love America. Please don't shoot me. So, and he's like, there's no Navy in Colorado. I was like, I'm not working for the Navy there. I'm going to be at an Air Force base. I have my orders. They're in this manila folder right next to the passenger seat. I'd be more than happy to show them to you. My ID's in my back pocket. He reaches into my back pocket, rips my wallet out, and finds my military ID, jams it back in, and tells me to go sit in the front seat of his car. And I was like, yes, sir. And I'm moving very slowly. He said, no, go sit down in my car now. Hurry. I'm like, this is just getting weirder and weirder. And I go sit down, and I figured he'd be like right on my tail. But no, he's standing around, looking around, not at my car, but around the car with his flashlight. So he comes back to the car after about 10 minutes, and he asked me if I want a cup of coffee, and he pulls out his thermos, and I'm freezing at the time. I was like, oh, please, you know. He cranks the heat up. He goes, well, kind of, I didn't mean to scare you there, but things have been a little different out here lately. I'm like, why? He goes, well, about a week ago, about a mile up the road, they found a carload of body parts. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's time to screw with the out-of-towner guy. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there, he's just going off about it. And he said, did you say that your wife and your children are out getting help? Did they walk? I was like, oh, of course not. They're in the other car. And they had met up with the tow truck driver, and they're going back to the town behind us. Like I said, I cannot remember the name of the place. And the tow truck driver said he'd be coming back. He goes, okay, well, I'm going to sit here with you till he gets here. I'm like, cool. And we're just sitting there talking, you know, just shooting the shit. And tow truck driver comes up. He goes, no, I want you to stay in this damn car and you don't move. I got to go make sure this guy's okay. I'm like, cool. So the cop gets out. He goes over, talks to the tow truck driver. Apparently they knew each other. And they were sitting there talking, joking, slapping each other on the shoulder, everything. So I was like, okay, everything's good. Tow truck driver loads my car up. We got to drive about 30 miles one direction to turn around to go back 45 minutes from my original location. Yeah, it was a long night. And we're sitting there. I'm in this tow truck in the middle of goddamn nowhere. And the guy says, yeah, about a week ago, they found some body parts not too far from here. And I'm like, okay, yeah, the cop told you. That. So we get to this place, and the only thing in this town, I think is the name of it was like Gunnison or something like that. And the only thing by the highway was a Motel 6 and a Denny's and a convenience store. So we get up the next morning, and my youngest son, he's 18 now, he was just a little guy, and he needed some milk for his bottle. So I go walk down to that convenience store, and there's this big cop. I mean, he it looked like a moose in a uniform. And he just looked at me and said, morning, Brandon. I'm like, hi. He goes, wife and kids all right? Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. And I was like, can I ask you a question? He goes, no, I ask questions here. You don't.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, oh, shit. Wow. So, yeah, I decided to make an exit and go back to the room. Tell my ex-wife, like, yeah, things are a little weird here. We're going to stay in this room until we figure out what's going on. So the convenience store had a mechanic there who was on duty, and he looked at my car and said, yeah, the engine's blown. So you guys are going to have to get like a dolly or something. Well, come to find out, the nearest dolly, car dolly, was in Salt Lake. And I wasn't going to drive up to Salt Lake. And so we had to sit there in this town for 3 damn days.
Yikes.
And sure enough, I'm sitting there. I go in, talk to that mechanic, and see if there's anything that could be done. And he's like, no. He's like, yeah, about a week ago, about a mile up the road from where they found you, they found a carload of body parts. I was like, dude, I'm getting tired of everybody telling bullshit.
This is like, it's also like horror movie plot. I know.
And then he pulled out a newspaper, and I was like, oh, hell no. Dude, we got that car dolly on, got the car loaded up on it. I did not stop until we got to Denver. I was not stopping anywhere. Oh, hell no. That was like the scariest 3 days of my life. I was just waiting for somebody in a hockey mask to jump out with a machete or some shit.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have vowed never to return to Utah.
That's crazy because, you know, I mean, Utah, usually you hear Utah, everybody there is Mormon, right? So, you know. I mean, obviously they're not, but, you know, that's what you always hear. Oh, everybody in Utah is really nice and all this stuff. And, ooh, yeah.
That whole experience is just terrifying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Wow. Did they find out who it was? Do you know?
I don't know. I just decided just going to leave that as it is.
Yeah, right.
I ain't going to look around. I ain't going to... Because my friends are pretty sure I'm immortal. So I ain't going to try to test that one.
Well, I do remember you'd wear your knife-proof pants, too.
Oh, dude, those things are so... I miss those things.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was going to get brought up.
I remember one night, you and me and Head Cheese out on your entrance by your house, the driveway, underneath the awning, and or the garage there, and then and Head Cheese just playing with his knife, pulling his knife out with I don't know where, but he had these tight black jeans,
yeah,
his boots. He always wore his
ass.
Yep, and they're showing us how these pants were knife-proof pants.
I'm pretty sure they were because I couldn't cut them for shit. I tried.
I saw him try cutting them. Yeah, they were tight, baby. They were.
Oh yeah.
See his veins. You know, if you look too hard. So.
Funny thing is, still got that knife downstairs. Beat up survival knife with the handles messed up on it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, shit.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone, and there was a policeman on the other side, and he said, "We've tracked the phone call, and it's coming from inside the house!"
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter, or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV, and she turns them around, and their face has SpaghettiOs!
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook. The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Trying to think. I should have wrote some stuff down. People keep telling me to write my life story in a book, but we're pretty sure it'd be labeled as fiction. Yeah, like I said, my wife used to think all my stories were bullshit until she started living them.
Hmm. You'll definitely have to come back. You'll definitely have to make notes about, you know, just to remember, because I have to do that. And, you know, I've even forgotten a couple of them, so we had to go back. But fortunately, we were able to record my recovered note memories. So.
Yeah, you asked me to write things down, but I've just been pretty busy. And this is kind of like real short notice filling.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man, because we were trying to get our siblings on, but like that day, nobody showed up for one reason or another. And I was like, well, shit. I was like, well, let's try to get Head Cheese on because I've been dying to have you on because I knew you're gonna have great stories for us. Well, before we go, unless you can think of anything else, how about the origin for your nickname, if you can remember that?
Yeah, we did have to talk about that.
Yeah,
it's a unique one. And Hub, do you want to take the lead on this? There's actually
photographic evidence if you check our yearbook.
is there really? There's something in the yearbook?
Yeah.
Is it the picture of you?
Fish.
That's.
The formaldehyde soaked shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre the night before for the first time. Decided to copy the Hitchhiker a bit. You guys have never let me live it down.
Yeah, I remember, man. Yeah, it was biology class, and I was the oldest in that class. I don't know how I went up there, but there was a couple classes. Like, I took Spanish my senior year with a bunch of freshmen, and then I took biology with it was a class full of the 95 graduates. It was you guys, and I don't know why I was.
Well, I can tell you why, because when we were at our school, you took biology your sophomore year, and our sophomore year we had Mr. B's conceptual physics class, which you one day stood up and said, "Does anybody care?
Does anybody like this class?" Yeah. Hubbard, hallway.
Yeah. The principal of the school is trying to teach a bunch of kids,
vectors. Trying to learn how to calculate vectors.
Ah, that was miserable. And none of us understood. They were all like, you know, the cream of the crop, smarter kids or whatever. And, you know, somehow they roped us in to go into this class because I think it was like an honors class that wasn't called an honors class. But, the concepts part was really cool. But when we started doing the math and stuff, man, it was just like – and the vectors, we'd spent too much time on vectors and they were just misery. But we had a lot of fun that class. Yeah. But anyway – the following year is when we all did our biology classes because we didn't take it our sophomore year. So we were in with the sophomores when we were juniors.
I guess that's what it was. Yeah. So we were in there and Head Cheese, who wasn't Head Cheese yet, he was still Brandon, was in the class. And I was sitting with a guy named Mark, and we had started doing something called the seventh hour biology class 3A rankings, and we would rank everybody in the class on a daily basis by what happened in class that day. So we had these rankings going or whatever, and we were ranking people daily, you know, all 30 people in the class, you know. And I don't know what the topic of conversation was that day in class, but Brandon brought up head cheese for some reason, and I had never heard of it. I don't think anybody else in the class had ever heard of head cheese, and you gave your description of what head cheese was, and you immediately got a number one ranking that day. And I think, you know, for many days to come after that, and then, yeah, we started calling you head cheese right then, and I mean, the rest is history.
Well, it's good because I've always hated the name Brandon, so I had joked around about legally changing my name to Bubba, just dropping everything, just going by Bubba.
Like Madonna? Yeah,
I was going for a Cher vibe.
I don't know what's better. Now, head cheese, you know, here's the thing. Head cheese caught on as a name for you because whenever we talk to other people, you know, that we grew up with who were our age or just a little bit younger in our collective high school range, you know, when you say head cheese, they know who you're talking about. If you say Brandon or Brandon Forbes, you know, and then they have to think about, oh yeah, head cheese. So yeah. So head cheese gone on and that's your name. So
it's a great nickname.
Yeah. We have a mutual friend that got a hold of me on Facebook, and she asked me if it was okay if she called me head cheese. And I was like, yeah, I don't mind at all.
That's another thing about our hometown is that we had a lot of nicknames. A lot of people had nicknames, and I'm not really sure what it is. Or what started it. It could have been, now I remember my dad, and other people told me this as well. My dad was a teacher, and when we were little kids in kindergarten for a few years, probably 3 or 4 years, he taught kindergarten PE in the morning, and then he would teach high school freshman science in the afternoon. And then at some point he switched to where he was teaching seventh grade science. But one of the things my dad would do is he would give the little kids nicknames. And mm-hmm. So, like, what was your nickname for my
Brutal.
Dad? Brutal? That makes sense. That makes sense. Brutal head cheese. That's what you should change your name to.
That could be your porn name.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Beats Tiffany.
Yeah. Hey, whatever works for you, man. You gotta. But yeah, there was Doug Poole was Boots, and Jay Whipple was Cowboy, and those are the ones I remember. Barry was Bear or Boo. And so I don't know. Did you have one, Jeff, or were you?
No,
just...
I didn't. You know, I wasn't lucky enough to have your dad in sixth grade, and you know, I do think wasn't he our PE teacher in kindergarten or something?
Yeah.
Kindergarten.
Yeah, and that's where I first heard Boots and you know, the other nicknames that he called the other guys in our class. I never did get a nickname. I don't think I was around enough. I didn't know him outside of school, you know.
One of the best nicknames he gave out was a shared nickname that he and Barry's sister Jamie had. They called each other Dummy.
That's right. That's right, man.
I hate Dummy.
I remember your dad, when my sister had her back surgery, he would come over about every day to tutor her or to give her her homework and help her out. And every day it was, how you doing, dummy? You know, it was, because my sister's incredibly smart and your father, obviously incredibly smart. So the joke was that, you know, they call each other dummy. It's pretty funny.
That's funny.
And then, of course, there were other that the tradition continued on within our with our group, especially Jeff, in high school and then afterwards. And, but people just in general would give people nicknames like, you know, there's Biff. Biff has been Biff since like middle school. And I have to legitimately think of his real name as opposed to Biff because he's been Biff so long. But then there's other there's a few that we can't say on air because people.
Yes,
they're somewhat offensive. Blue, the people who have been given that names that for some reason, I guess, either grown out of them or decided that, you know, maybe they don't want to be known as this particular thing.
Once you've called somebody by a nickname or whatever for, you know, a few years, it is hard to break the habit.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And when they want you to quit calling them that, it was difficult to stop.
Especially when you see them often, right?
But this particular person, he just got to the point where if you didn't address him by his proper name, he wouldn't even acknowledge that you were there. He wouldn't answer your questions. He wouldn't, you know, it was just until you called him by his proper first name.
Oh, I can load up you on that. Try meeting your wife's parents for the first time and try not to call her by her ship nickname.
what's that?
I can't. I value my life, I will not.
Well, that's funny. What's so funny, though, is with our mutual friend that we're skirting the name around with. It's so funny because it's something that you definitely would not want to say in front of your parents or hear your parents say. But yet Jeff's mom would also call our friend by this particular name. And
does it involve emotion like cross country skiing?
So, yeah.
Winner, winner.
Stupid gesture with the hand, but also connected to a kind of act.
Of a yes.
That is so funny.
We won't identify who the person is or say it even further, but if you do want to know, You can feel free to write in, and we'll let you know. I want to identify who the person is. A lot of people will know, but
he once wore that name proudly.
He did. Sadly. As a badge of honor, introduced himself to women, and I think that was probably one of the reasons that he decided against it. Is that he didn't want to? It was somewhat difficult for him to find dates, perhaps introducing himself. By that name.
So. Yeah. Everybody always thought that there was like, you know, a backstory to it, you know, that there was, but really there was no reason, you know.
Other than it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah. That's true. That's so true.
I got a buddy of mine. She lives up in Indiana. And I had gone back to Kingfisher for a couple weeks, you know, with my daughter. And she had cracked a joke about how she wants to know why I'm so damn socially awkward at times. So I walked out of the, you know, Walmart, you know, the new one, if you want to call it that. And I just took a picture from the front door facing east. I said, this is why. Nothing but Linda Wheatfields.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time to think and reflect and call each other stupid names, you know.
Okay. That's very true. Well, guys, I really need to bounce because I got the wife coming home. I got to take a kid to work. And
sounds good, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks for spending your time with us, man. We appreciate it.
It was great having me on.
It was great, man. It was nice catching up, and I'm glad to see you're doing great. And hope to hear from you again sometime soon, buddy.
Man. Welcome back anytime.
Yeah.
Y'all just like I said, I'll write out some stuff, and y'all. Want me? Just let me know.
Cool, brother. Sounds good.
We always want you, so you let us know when it's around.
All right, guys.
Okay, man.
All right, take care, buddy.
Take care.
I also want to see y'all show's really good. And my wife is a big fan, and
thanks, man.
She thinks it's really funny, especially since sometimes she knows who people are.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. That's great.
You guys have a good
one. You too, brother.
Right, thanks, man. Bye bye.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too, because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world, and we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy, because you're not.
Remember when Mr. Bramlow would say that? Quietening down.
Yeah, man.
You onions! You onions, man!
You onions.
The onions.
Were either of you in the hit class with me? With it?
I don't
remember Kyle Fowling Camp was in my class.
Well, okay, Payne was in my class.
John Hurst was in my
John
class.
Hurst. So, yeah.
I might have been in with John Hurst too.
He and somebody would get
sugar.
Yeah, packets. Yeah, sugar packets and put it on the floor. And he would walk around.
The crunch. Yeah,
you wanted, yeah, that's true. You wanted to do this sugar in my class.
So funny, dude.
Brad Payne was lighting his leg hair on fire in my class. Maybe, and there was just a stench, you know, and Bramlow would ask about that. But so I don't know. I want to say Hurst was in my class, but I can't remember.
I don't know, Hub. I think you might have been in that class.
I might have been there.
Well, it's a walk down memory lane. And that's kind of the point of this episode. I mean, what can you say? And the deal is, too, is that I think that the ghost stories of that Head Cheese just shared with us, I would have never thought that that was a part of his life.
Oh, yeah, me neither. And, you know, I never, you know, I lived 150 feet, maybe 200 feet from that house. And I never knew that those kinds of things were going on in there. I had to have lived there when the gentleman that used to live in Head Cheese's house that was now haunting the house was alive. I'm sure I was home the day he died.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so
intense.
Yeah. Really hits close to home.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then, you know, like his breaking down in the desert, the beginnings of, you know, so many horror movies.
Yeah.
And it could have gone so terribly wrong and just would have been just so creepy, creepy all around. Mm-hmm. Everybody know, people walking up to you, knowing your name. You not met yet, and you know, just because you're in a small little burg where, you know, everybody knows everybody, so just wild, man.
Yep. So weird, man. And I, you know, he's talking about that story, and that's really kind of, you know, the picture I had in my mind was kind of like a deliverance type, and you know, just thought, and then just backwoods policeman, and just I don't know. It was so strange.
Yeah. Yeah. UFO stories and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, well, he didn't disappoint. That's for sure.
No, for sure.
No. For sure.
And it came through. We were on a short notice as well, and it all worked out great. So yeah,
couldn't plan to better.
Head Cheese, awesome. Thank you for being on with us, and thank you for sharing all those great stories. That was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun talking with you and catching up. And we hope everybody out there in Weirdsville enjoyed, you know, our friend Head Cheese there as well.
How can you not?
So true. You know,
I mean, I wish that everybody could have seen the knife pants.
I'm sure, you know, if he hasn't sent a picture of those in, he needs to, because he wore them all the time. I guarantee you there are tons of pictures of him.
I bet we can find them in a yearbook, dude.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Once again, you know, we want to hear all your weird stories. We want to hear all your trapped in some scary town stories. Whatever you got, you know, we want to hear it. You guys are what keep us going and keep us on. And what we enjoy the most about this is just hearing your stories from week to week. So keep them coming. All right, everybody, thanks again, and join us next time on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Next week, again, you know, more hometown friends. Amy is coming back, and she's got even more like outrageous and crazier and weirder stories than she did the first time around. You're just not gonna believe them, and it'll be fantastic. So yeah, if you like true crime and you like serial killer, you
freaky,
know?
Yeah, freaky UFOs? Stuff. Yeah.
Freaky
yeah.
stuff, man. Yeah. Freaky stuff.
That's a good tease. I can't wait to hear this stuff.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. That's great. So tune in next week on the to the podcast. And in the meantime, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.